Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody. This is EAN Cast, and this month, topic of the month is stroke. And this is our fourth episode already, and we have chosen as a hot topic of this month, stroke in women. And I'm very happy to welcome as my today's interview guest, Dr. Cheryl Castle. She is a neurologist and early career researcher at St. George Institute for Global Health in Sydney in Australia. And she is the academic lead of Global Brain Health Initiative and Sex Differences in Stroke Group at the George Institute for Global Health. Her main research areas are women's health and stroke and headache, acute stroke imaging, and brain health. So she is a perfect candidate for today's interview, and I welcome you very warmly. Hello, Dr. Castle.
Thank you for having me here today, Dr. Tettenborn. It's such a pleasure to be able to talk about a topic that I'm passionate about.
So we will start directly with the first question, and we have a couple of them for today for the next 15 to 20 minutes. And my first question is, there are gender difference in risk factors and epidemiology in stroke, and that has been known for a long time already, but lately attention to these factors has increased markedly. Can you inform us a little bit about these gender differences in stroke epidemiology and risk factors in men and women, please?
You're absolutely right. In the past 10 years, attention to sex and gender differences, not only in stroke, but in a lot of other diseases as well, has becoming increasingly more common knowledge for people. So when they looked at the global burden of disease data from 1990 to 2016, they found that the lifetime risk of stroke in women and men who are over age 25 was 1 in 4. So there were no significant differences. However, there were important differences between regions and countries. For example, the lifetime risks among women were highest in Eastern Europe and East Asia, while in men, the highest lifetime risk was in East Asia. And when we look at data from the United States, the lifetime risk of stroke is higher in women, which was 20 to 21%, than in men, which was 14 to around 17% for a 55-year-old individual. When we talk about risk factors, we know from the Interstroke Case Control Study, which looked at over 25,000 participants from Asia, the Middle East, and Africa, that a number of modifiable risk factors explain approximately 90% of the risk of stroke in both sexes. So this is what we know as cardiovascular disease risk factors. But the most impactful causes of stroke in women were hypertension, abdominal obesity, and adverse lipid profile. And these same findings were actually corroborated by the UK Biobank, which, by the way, is a different altogether population, where hypertension, smoking, and a low socioeconomic status were associated with a greater risk of stroke in women than men. And this just means that there are several risk factors that are more strongly associated with risk of stroke in women compared to men.
But what about gender-specific aspects like pregnancy or oral contraceptive? Are these relevant risk factors for stroke? Or like, does menopause or hormonal replacement therapy, which a lot of women take after menopause, have an influence on stroke occurrence?
I think this is a great question. There are absolutely sex or gender-specific risk factors for both women and men, but I'll start with women first. You mentioned oral contraceptive use, and in particular, combined oral contraceptives increases the risk of stroke. However, for hormonal replacement therapy, more recent data has shown that low-dose transdermal estrogen formulations may effectively treat menopausal symptoms without increasing stroke risks. Another sex-specific risk factor may be a lifetime exposure to estrogen, which is from menarche to menopause, wherein if it's a shorter reproductive lifespan, you're looking at an increased risk of stroke. Still other sex or gender specific risk factors are adverse pregnancy outcomes, hypertensive disorders of pregnancy. They've all been consistently showing increased long-term risk of cardiovascular disease, including stroke in the mother. And another interesting thing is that, when looking at the China Kaduri Biobank, which is 500,000 people, women who had breastfed for more than 24 months actually had a 17% lower risk of stroke compared to women who never breastfed. And finally, when we're thinking about sex or gender specific risk factors, men also have sex specific risk factors for stroke. Medical androgen deprivation therapy and erectile dysfunction have been shown to increase the risk of stroke. So lots of risk factors that we need to be aware of, and definitely lots that are sex and gender specific.
Very important points. I think we all have heard already about differences in clinical symptoms and signs of heart attacks in men and women, which was quite often in even lay press in the past. And are there relevant differences in the clinical symptoms and signs of stroke in men and women, or are they very similar?
You're absolutely right, Dr. Tettenborn. I think the MI symptoms and stroke that are women specific are very well characterized, but then the ones in stroke are not as. However, there are two recent meta-analyses that have looked at this, and although they have shown that the more common symptoms, which is included in the FAST sign, which is generalized focal weakness, speech deficit, and numbness, are more common to both sexes, women have more prevalent non-focal symptoms compared to men, including generalized weakness, changes in mental status, confusion, headache, sometimes migraine, and even loss of consciousness. Now, one of these meta-analyses tried to analyze, which I think was very important, whether the stroke symptom differences led to a missed or delay in diagnosis of stroke. The unfortunate thing was that there was insufficient data out there, and I think this is a current gap in knowledge, whether these sex differences in symptoms actually led to a delay in diagnosis.
And if we now come to the management of stroke, regarding therapy, we mainly rely on data of multicenter randomized trials. But women of childbearing age are usually excluded from these studies. How can this problem be handled? And do we have enough data on women and therapy and stroke at all? Are there differences in the acute management of stroke in men and women, for example?
I agree. There are not enough women enrolled in stroke trials. And the women of childbearing age, it's usually very complicated because a lot of the drug trials exclude women of childbearing age. And this is important. We actually looked at published randomized controlled trials between 1990 and 2020 that were registered in the clinicaltrials.gov website to see if sex differences in enrollment in clinical trials was different to the prevalence of stroke in women and men in the community. So comparing the enrollment to the actual prevalence in the community. And we in 281 trials that had over 500,000 participants, we found that despite accounting for the prevalence of stroke in the population, women continue to be underrepresented in stroke trials. And you see the greatest differences observed here in intracerebral hemorrhage trials with a mean age of participants less than 70, non-acute intervention trials, and rehabilitation trials. Yeah, we need to find barriers and facilitators of including more women in trials. The good news is that the findings from thrombolysis and endovascular trials have not found any sex differences in treatment effects and adverse outcomes of these hyperacute trials. So they're equally effective in both males and females. But I think the bigger issue here is that access to treatment. So women are less likely to be given thrombolysis and endovascular trials, according to real-world data.
And are there gender differences in the outcome of stroke after this acute treatment or even long-term treatment? And if yes, which are the contributing factors to that difference? And what is about the quality of life after a stroke?
I think this is a really important question to ask. So we know that there are sex differences in incidence, risk factors, access to care, but does it really translate to actual differences in outcomes after stroke? And the answer is yes. So women are more likely to have poorer quality of life after stroke. They're more likely to be disabled, more likely to be depressed. They're more likely to end up in a nursing home compared to men. And these worse outcomes are probably because of a multitude of factors, including disease, pathophysiology, provider bias, socioeconomic status, and biological differences. So lots of things at play that hopefully some of them can be addressed.
We know that migraine with aura is more common in women than in men. Does that increase the risk of ischemic stroke in women?
That's right. Migraine more often in women, and migraine with aura is associated with ischemic stroke, is more common in young women, particularly those less than 45 years old, with a high frequency of migraine attacks. Those who are using oral contraceptives, and those who are also pregnant and with preeclampsia. And I think it's really important to identify these women and obviously modify any vascular risk factors in these individuals.
Last question from my side is, having heard everything about all these differences and also the worst outcome after stroke for women, do you think there's a need for special actions to be taken to improve neurologists' knowledge on stroke in women in general, or even to increase the knowledge in the public about the gender difference, and how could that be done?
Absolutely. I think what we need to do is we need to get this information to everybody. For me, there needs to be continued reporting on sex and gender differences in stroke. We also need to re-educate the stroke workforce, or even perhaps start at the very beginning in medical school and include these type of sex and gender differences in diseases in the curriculum. And then I think the other thing would be that we really don't have enough gender diverse data. So data that's not non-binary, and we need to start collecting those.
Thank you very much for these important insights into this gender differences of stroke epidemiology, management and outcome, Dr. Castle. It was very nice talking to you. I learned a lot from you, and I really enjoyed our little podcast here. I hope you have a nice evening in Sydney now. And thank you again.
Thank you, Dr. Tettenborn, to the team at ENA Cast. It's been a pleasure to be a guest today.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.